تصل البشرية من تخبطها. فبعضها لأمر في نفسه يقول أن العبد إلى النصرانية مثلا هو الذي ينقذ هذه البلاد مما يتخبطون فيه من الخوع الروحي، من الجوع النفسي، من الاضطراب الحواسي، حيث انهم لا يعرفون معنى بالامن والطمانينه، وانتم اصحاب هذه الديار تعرفون ذلك اكثر منهم. ولكن عطلاء هذه الديار من حكام ومن مفكرين اعرفوا اكثر من مره انهم ان حضاره رجل الاضواء او ان حضاره المدنيه الغربيه لم تعد هي التي يعني ممكن ان تقود البشريه للخير. فمثلا يقول الرئيس الفرنسي شارل ان الاسلام هو وارث الحضارات، ويقول ان حضاره الرجل الاول قد بدت من المغيب، ويقول اينشتاين الذي يسمونه اينشتاين القرن العشرين وهو المعروف في بريطانيا المعروف ارنولد توبي، يقول ان مشكله الخمر والعنصريه لا يستطيع ان يحلها الا الاسلام. وقلت النفسه لكن فولسوف المعروف إنما يقول أن رجلا لا مثل محمد يحكم العالم لما أخطأناه، إلى غير ذلك من المقولات والإشارات التي هي يكرهون بها رغم أنوثهم ورغم عبادهم للإسلام. لأنه أن الفكر الذي سيكون هذه البشرية هو الفكر الذي يوافق الفطر، هو الفكر الذي يلاقي طبيعة الإنسان، هو الفكر الذي يمنع من الإنسان إنسانه ورفع الأفكار التي تدعى الإنسان كالحيوان، ولا تشبع فيه إلا شهوته ولا تشبع فيه إلا في عدده وطرده. فلما تحكم في كل الافكار التي تصيب الارض ما نجد فكرا يسرع طرف الانسان وينقذ الانسان ويكتب عبر الانسان الا دين الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو الاسلام. اذا فلا شك ولا ريب ان الاسلام هو فكر البشريه القادمه، هو الذي سيخلصها من غفلتها، هو الذي ينقذها من كبوتها، الا وهو دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. وتذكروا دائما قول الله هو الذي اثر رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون، اي ولو كره المشركون انتشار الدين سيكون الانتشار له، ولو كره المشركون اتبع الدين سيعود الى الدين، ولو كره المشركون واتبعوا سيكون تخطيطهم بالبشر، ولو كره المشركون ان تعود خلافه الاسلام وبدعه الاسلام ستعود، لانه لا تكفر البشريه مثل ما ينقذها الاسلام، فقد انقذها فتوى الرب وهو الذي سينقذها اخر مره.
All of those aforementioned hadith about the reviving Islam reviving the society are all authentic. And that Islam will be the leader, without a question of a doubt, these hadith are authentic and true. So these hadith talk about removing people from the servitude of slaves, the servitude of ideas and men, to the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the servitude of Creator, the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that this religion will be manifest and will be the most important religion, will be the religion which is ruling the earth. And all other religions will be humiliated and will be underneath the foot of Islam. So communism, capitalism, and all these other types of methodologies are worthless. And the people, when they practice them, they realize that they get worse and it becomes a worse situation, and that they do not benefit. And therefore they look for a solution. So the philosophers of this time, they have researched this topic, and they have for the most part come up with the summary or the conclusion that religion, and organized religion, is the only way for this solution to occur to these problems. So some of them in the West, they look towards Christianity. And they look at Christianity from all of its types of heresies, like starvation with the monks, or their communal type of lifestyle, and they realize this is not the solution for mankind. Additionally, the leaders of the West, like Charles de Gaulle and some other well-known philosophers, they had said that basically Islam has inherited all of the good qualities of society throughout time, and that white society will not continue based upon its own pillars or what it is upon today. Additionally, other of them have said that wine and racism is that aspect or those aspects which corrupt society, and that the only solution to these problems is Islam. Additionally, other of them have said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he were to be present nowadays, the world would have no problem, and the world would be ruled with no problem whatsoever, and because he was ruling them. So therefore, all of these theories, all of these methodology, all of these religions are based not upon the natural way, upon the fitrah, but rather they are based upon either sensual aspects of gathering money to feed oneself or to do other transgressions, but they are not based upon the natural way. So therefore, by definition, they are worthless and they will not solve the people's problems. So therefore, no thought or religion or any type of methodology is going to help people except for Islam. And that is because Islam in itself is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of the Creator, the one that He has is pleased with and sent to mankind for them to follow. So therefore, all these things being based upon man and man-made philosophies and ideas are worthless and will not help mankind, because the people are not as knowledgeable to their own state as the Creator of them. So the Savior of people and the Savior of society is the religion of Allah, and let not anyone forget that point. Revelation.
فإذا تيقنا من هذا الأمر وهو لا شك وطين لأنه إخبار من سيد المرسلين صلى الله عليه وسلم فما الطريق إلى ذلك وكيف نعيد مجد الإسلام ونحن في مرحلة فيها ضعاف ومرحلة لا نملك من الأمر شيء سواء على المستوى الخارجي أو على المستوى الداخلي حتى في البلاد الإسلامية التي يكون نسبة المسلمين فيها كبيرة جدا لا يملكون من الأمر شيء فكيف نعود إلى ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تذكرنا أسباب ضعفنا علمنا كيف نعالجها لأن معرفة الخطأ كما يقولون أول خطوات الصواب لأن الإنسان لا يرجع عن الخطأ إلا إذا عرف أنه خطأ وأدرك ما حجم هذا الخطأ ثم تراجع عن الخطأ وسار في طريق مغاير لما كان عليه ابتداء الواقع الإسلامي وحديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تؤكد أن مصيبة الناس في دينهم بسبب جهلهم به وأنهم يصبحون على رأس حبهم للإسلام وأن عاطفتهم الجياشة تحب الإسلام لكنهم وللأسف يجهلون الإسلام فلو سألت كل المسلمين في كل الأرض أتحبون أن تحكموا بالإسلام لقالوا نعم ولو عملنا استفتاء أتريدون أن تحكموا بالإسلام لوجدنا نسبة عالية إلى غير ذلك مما يدل على أن المسلمين لم يتركوا الإسلام عمدا ولم يتركوه قصدا، ولكنهم ابتعدوا عنه بسبب جهلهم فيه. إذن الخطوة الأولى أن نعيد الفهم الصحيح للإسلام، وهذا ما يمكن أن نطلق عليه اسم التصفية، أي على العلماء والدعاء والذين ينتسبون لهذا الدين عن علم وعن يقين أن يقوموا بواجب التصفية، أي يصفون الإسلام من البدع، من الشركيات، من الخرافات، من الأساطير، من الأحاديث الضعيفة، من الأحاديث الموضوعة، من القصص التي لا أصل لها، من الأخلاق التي لا تمت للإسلام، حتى يرجع الناس إلى الإسلام الحقيقي، حتى يعود الناس إلى الإسلام الذي أنزل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Sheikh said, and I forgot to translate it in the previous session, that though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Allah has sent this religion, the true religion, so that it will become manifest over mankind. So without a question of doubt, this will occur. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he said in similar verses that he has sent the true religion, and it will be manifested, even if the disbelievers and the polytheists hate that to occur or do not want that to occur. So no matter what they plan or plot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this to occur and will make Islam become prevalent, become the master of religions. And nothing will be able to save people, no matter what they want to do or intend to do, except for Islam, because it is a true religion, the religion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. All of these statements were told to us from the most truthful of people, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq al-masduq. So therefore, when a truthful person speaks, it will occur, because he only speaks the truth. So the question comes to us, how can we initiate this or be a part of this revival process? And how do we proceed while we are now weak in a terrible situation? So how can we proceed, or this procession will occur, has to occur at two levels. First thing, it will occur at an external level, outside, and likewise internally. So if we look at, for instance, in those nations where the Muslims are the majority, we still see that they are very weak, and that they have no ability to revive themselves in their current state. So they must adopt certain principles, and they must investigate as to what were the reasons why they lost the status of glory. And the Shaykh said it's very important that the only way we can go back to that pristine state is to realize what took us away from that pristine state. If we were with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we were in a time of greatness and with the first generation of the caliphships, then therefore, and we were fine, and therefore afterwards we fell down from that great time, then what were the causes for this? And the only way for us to get back to that state is to understand and analyze and investigate what were those reasons. Clearly, one of those reasons, and clearly the problems we have nowadays, is ignorance. And that the people, if you were to ask them, do you want Islam, or if they want to change something, or they want to do something, do it out of emotion, not based upon knowledge. So if you were to ask the people, do they want Islam as their guardian, do they want Islam as their ruler, they would all say without a question of a doubt, yes, definitely, among the Muslims. They would say yes. But they would be unable to make this occur, and unable to revive the religion because of this ignorance. So therefore, we must take that intention that they want, or that desire which they want, and through the knowledgeable scholars, knowledgeable students of knowledge, the people of the Quran and the Sunnah, allow them to sift through all of their heresies, all of their beliefs of shirk, all of their non-Islamic ideas, all of their poor actions, their poor manners, remove that and sift so that the pure Islam remain, and all of these heresies and these idolatries and all of these innovations which have marred the beauty of Islam, to let these things fall through. So only the pure Islam will remain. So this concept of tasfiya, or sifting away the impurities, is the only way to revive the religion, is the only way to return the religion to the original state that was descended upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only through sifting through the correct ideas.
مما يؤكد على وجود تصفية الإسلام حتى يعود الناس إلى دينهم أن الكفار من شيوعيين ونصارى ويهود وغيرهم، فهل يمكن نأخذ الشيوعية عندما استولت على بلاد المسلمين فيما كان يسمى الاتحاد السوفيتي، حارب المسلمين، منعهم من الصلاة، منعهم من قراءة القرآن، منعهم من كل شيء يقرب إلى الله، لكنهم أبقوا على العبرة، أبقوا على العبرة التي ينظر عندها لغير الله، أبقوا على العقابات الأولياء التي تدعى من دون الله، أبقوا على الطرق الصوفية التي تشرح الإسلام وكانوا يصورونها في وقت إعلامهم ويعرضونها على الناس ويقول لهم هذا هو الإسلام. مما يؤكد لنا أن هذه الخرافات وهذه الأساطير وهذه العقائد الفاسدة وعبد أعداء الله أنها سبب رئيس في ضرب الناس عن دينهم، فهم يكذبونها وهم يبقونها وهم يبقونها وهم يلمعونها وهم يدعونها للجهرة الذين لا يعلمون أن هذا هو الإسلام، حيث يظهرون الإسلام بصورة مشروعة، بصورة أنه إصلاح إرهابي، بأنه إصلاح، لأن المسلمين لا يرون إلا شهوات بطونهم وشهوات قلوبهم، وأنهم عبارة عن بحار تعيش في الأرض لأجل هذا، فهم يكفرون هذا الأمر، والله سبحانه وتعالى سيظهر دينه ويعلم
فيه. Or as a further proof as to the requirement of tasfiyah or sifting through and letting all the bad ideas fall and let the pure Islam stay, or tasfiyah, just as in Arabic language. If one was to look at, for instance, communism and how it conquered the Muslim lands in Russia, or what was known as the former Soviet Union, one would realize that the things which they did, the communists, was that they prohibited people from doing salah and they prohibited people from reading the Quran and all of the other actions which are known to be of pure Islam. But the people stuck with and they allowed people to remain with Sufism, with grave worship, and with all these other types of heresies and innovations into the religion. And they told these people, and the people thought, that these are the things which are Islamic. So they stuck firmly to these innovations and heresies, and they left those things which are pure, like praying to Allah alone and reading the Quran, His book. So they went to worshipping other than Allah, and they stuck firmly with it. And in fact, the enemies of Allah, surely the communists, allowed this and propagated this notion or this concept that verily the Muslims worship graves, and that this is a very important shrine in Islam. So therefore, the ignorant Muslims would therefore feel that there is some importance. So they would put photos or camera shots or whatever, or clips, which showed that Muslims praying to these graves. So therefore, the rest of the Muslims would feel this is the correct way. So because the Kuffar realized that the only way for them to conquer Islam was to bring innovation to the pure matter of Islam, they did this. And many Muslims were fooled, except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy upon them.
فإذا قلنا بهذا الواجب وهو تصفية الإسلام ومعرفة الدين الحق الذي كان عليه صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعرضنا الله سبحانه وتعالى بهذا، يجب علينا أن نعمل بهذا وأن نربي أنفسنا وأولادنا وأسرنا على هذا، نحقق أهم شرط في استخلاف الله للمؤمنين وهو العبودية لله، أن نحقق العبودية لله، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا ينصر إلا عباده ولا يمكن إلا لأوليائه ولا يتولى إلا الذين يسيرون على طريقه. وأضرب لكم آية بحرمته. تؤكد أهمية تحقيق العبودية في استخلاف المؤمنين في الأرض. أما الآية فهي قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة النور: وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم. إذن الله سبحانه وتعالى وعد من؟ وعد المؤمنين. المؤمنين ما صفتهم؟ آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. ماذا وعدهم؟ أن يستخلفهم في الأرض. هل هذا خاص بهذه الأمة أو لجميع المؤمنين؟ بل لجميع المؤمنين، كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم. لماذا يستخلفهم كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم؟ قال: يعبدون ما يشركون به شيئا. قبلها قال: ولو بدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. ماذا؟ يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. إذن العبادة هي حدث من التمكين، وتوقف التمكين واستقرار التمكين، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. إذا اتخذ التوفيق يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، وبعد التوفيق يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، وبعد التوفيق يطلبون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة، وبعد التوفيق يطلبون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة. إذا انتهت حتى تر العبودية مطلقا. هذه الآية.
So therefore, if we want to return to the state of what the Sahaba were on, and we claim that we are the followers of the Sahaba, and therefore we must worship like the Sahaba worshipped, and worship Allah alone. Therefore we must teach ourselves to worship Allah alone, teach ourselves first, teach our families, teach our close relatives, teach our friends about the worship of Allah alone. And this is very important. Teaching the worship of Allah alone and practicing it, really practicing it among ourselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only provide for His slaves, and only will allow those slaves of His who are righteous to be in power, and only allow His friends, His close friends, His awliya, of the believers to be in charge of the ummah. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a proof of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, and this is the topic of the conference. If you look at the English manual, it talks about this verse in detail in Surah An-Nur, and I'll summarize the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A promise from Allah to the believers, from you all who do good deeds, that He will place them in charge of the earth, just like He put those before Him, before them. And He will remove their fear that they have with tranquility, and remove that fear. Because they worship Allah alone, they make no polytheism with them. They have no shirk with them whatsoever." So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise to the believers who do good deeds that He will put them in charge of the earth and allow them to come generation after generation of believers ruling the earth, just like He did to the Sahaba before, because it's just like He did to those ones before us, so the Sahaba before us and the believers before us, because they worship Allah alone and they do not have shirk. They do not worship Allah other than Allah in any way or any form. So they have pure worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meanings of worship should be known to everyone. Perhaps that might be a question that someone would ask, and the Shaykh would clarify that. So the question is, that before, or the important point is that before Allah will allow the Muslims to be in charge of their matters and not allow, and remove the disbelievers and the hypocrites to be running the affairs of the Muslims themselves must be worshiping Him, Allah, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and purely Him. Likewise, during their state of being in charge, they must worship Allah alone. And in fact, even afterwards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them in charge, they must worship Allah alone. Have you not all heard the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'll translate some of the meanings of this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily the believers are those who, when we put them in charge of the earth, that they establish prayer and they pay the zakah. They pay the charity of money, and they command the good and they forbid the evil. And verily the end of matters is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the Shaykh says that the only way to achieve might on the earth, the only way to be in charge of this earth and be in charge of our own affairs, the Muslims be in charge of their own affairs, is for them to worship Allah alone and only Him. And as soon as they take and control the earth, they must still do it. So therefore, worshipping Allah alone must occur, and applying and having correct beliefs and applying the religion must occur before we are in charge, during our state when we are in charge, and likewise after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in charge and there is no discrepancy or there is no issue with that, we still must persevere and establish good and do what's ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the matters of this religion.
فإذا تكلمنا عن الآوة وبينها التي تبين أهمية العبودية لله في استخلاف المسلمين كتكلم الحديث أيضا عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تطول الساعة حتى يقاتل المسلمون الواحد حتى يتبع اليهودي وراء الشجر والحبر فيقول الشجر او الحبر يا مسلم يا عبد الله هذا وقودي وراءي تعال فاقتل ان لم ترقب فانه من شجر اليهود. هذا الحديث اخرجه البخاري ومسلم. إلى نقاط الشجر والحبر من نقاط المسلم الذي هو كبير في جوش الحق يحارب الطغيان ويحارب الكفر ويركب الأرض والعباد من بغاء اليهود ومن حكم اليهود. ماذا يقول الشجر والحبر؟ هل يراد المسلم بقوميته؟ هل يراد المسلم بإقليميته؟ هل يراد المسلم بعقبه ونسبه؟ هل يراد المسلم بجاهه وماله؟ أما يقول له يا مسلم يا عبد الله يا عبد الله حتى عبادته هو المسلم. الذي يحقق العبودية لله هو المسلم. الذي يكون على رعاية الله هو المسلم. فإذا صفة الله الذين يحققون الوقت بالإسلام أمر صفاتهم أنهم عباد الله. أو أنهم حققوا العبودية لله. فلا بد حتى نعيد من تقرر أن نحقق العبودية لله. فإذا نحقق العبودية لله فلا بد أن يكون استخلاف ولا بد أن يكون تنكيل. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول ولقد كتبنا في الذكر في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن يتحقق ربها عبادي الصالحون إن في هذا لبرادة لقدر العابدين. لماذا ربك الشجر والحجر؟ لماذا ربك الشجر والحجر؟ مع أنه لا يتكلم ولكن نظر ما حققه الله. الله قد حقق كل شيء. ما كان ربك الشجر والحجر؟ لله. فإذا صادق عبدك مؤمنا لله فإن هذا الكرب يتجاوب هذا العبد. ولذلك صدق الله سبحانه وتعالى تقدير تقدير عليه الصلاة والسلام أن الجبال كانت تفك له يا جبال أكوني الهند والطيب وأردنا قطع الحديد.
So the Shaykh now has explained to us that the only way for the Muslims to be in charge of their matters and to be in charge of the earth is by understanding and applying al-ubudiyya or worship. So let us mention some more proofs which further clarify the meaning and the importance of victory and worshiping Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can find this in a hadith related by Bukhari and Muslim, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that great companion, said, verily, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not be established, Yawm al-Qiyamah will not occur, until the Muslims fight the Jews. And the Jews will hide behind a tree and a rock, different trees and different rocks, and say, and then the tree and the rock will say, O Muslim, O worshipper and slave of Allah, come and kill this Jew behind me. And all the and every tree and rock will say this except for a certain type of Jewish tree. And perhaps someone will ask the Shaykh about this type of tree. So the important point is that the winning of the Muslims over the Jews is because of their worship. And we can find this because when the rock and tree actually spoke, and they really spoke, and they really will speak, and they will be heard, the rock and tree will say, O Muslim. And then they will clarify what do they mean by that. They will actually define what the Muslim is. Or because they say, O Muslim, O slave of Allah, O worshipper of Allah. So therefore, the Muslim who will win is the one who worships Allah alone. So therefore, we have to make sure that we actually worship Allah alone. And if we do not, then therefore we know we will not be those ones who will fight the Jews. And therefore, that the winning of Islam could not be on our hands unless we were to practice and apply worshiping Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this victory over the Jews will only occur after a person has applied total submission and total worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Ummah as a whole applies these principles. Have you not heard, brothers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, verily we have revealed or we have written down in the Zabur, that verily, and the Zabur is a book of David, that verily my slaves will inherit the earth. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in the books previous to the Quran that the Muslims would become victorious. That his slaves, the Muslims, the ibad, those ones who do ibudiyya, those ones who have worship of Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make these rocks and trees talk, even though normally they do not speak, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them talk and tell the believers that there is a Jew behind them. And that we know also from verses in the Quran that the rocks or that the mountains, they also, their type of speech is generally praising of Allah. And there's a proof that the Shaykh brought out that when Dawood was praising Allah and glorifying Allah, that the mountains also would say behind him different types of praises.
هذه يعني الطريق إلى إعادة مجد هذه الأمة. إذا عادت الأمة إلى ربها وطهرت نفوسها غير الله ما بها حيث يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تداوعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم الزرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم بالله لا ينزعه حتى تعودوا إلى دينكم ويقول صلى الله عليه ويقول الله جل جلاله إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. وعلى المسلمين أن يسرعوا بذلك حتى لا يستبدلهم الله بقوم غيرهم، وإن تتولوا يستبدل قوم غيركم ثم لا يكون أمثالكم. ثم لا بد من ختم هذه المحاضرة بأمر هام، وهو أي الأفكار أو أي المناهج الإسلامية المطروحة الآن على الساحة. هناك أفكار إسلامية كثيرة مطروحة على الساحة، مثل الشيعة يطرحون تصورهم، والصوفية يطرحون تصورهم، وكثير من الجماعات الإسلامية مثل حزب التحرير أو الإخوان أو جماعة التبرير تطرح أفكارها. فما فكرة الأمر أو ما المنهج الذي سيعود ما نحن في فرض الكلام منه؟ أقول معتقدا أن الفكر الذي سيعود الأمة إلى نفسها سيعودها إلى ربها هو الفكر السلفي. لماذا؟ هناك حديثان عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله على ذلك.
كملوا له. كأنا ديت الترجمة هذه بدقة يعني لهم يفهمونها.
ذكر في وقت كتبنا في الزبون من بعد الذكر.
وقلت
أين الأفضل؟ ثم قلت أن هذا من أول الأبلاغ. ماذا في أول الأبلاغ؟
إن في ذلك الأبلاغ لقوم عابدين.
ماذا؟
لقوم عابدين.
لعبرة لقوم
عابدين. إن في ذلك الأبلاغ.
الأبلاغ. ما عبرة؟
ذكرى.
ذكرى. Okay, so as I mentioned before, the verse in the Quran which talks about what Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Zabur, David's book, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that his slaves would inherit the earth. The last part of the verse, which I forgot to mention, is that this, Allah says that, and this is a reminder to his slaves. So therefore, or his worshippers, so therefore the one who is his slave and one is a worshipper of Allah, when he hears this verse, he will realize that the ones who will inherit the earth are those ones who worship him alone. So, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that if you all deal with riba, and that you focus your energies, not on religion, but focus yourself on agricultural issues, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let other nations take or conquer you, and you will be humiliated until you will return to your religion. So therefore, the Prophet in this hadith did not just say, that's the meaning of it, did not just say that until you do good deeds or that you affirm your faith again, but until you return to your religion, which means that it's a total return to Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily He does not change the state of a group's heart or a people's heart until they change that which is in them. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only allow or only will force the Muslims to return to their pristine state only when they themselves have the intention and the desire and they do their best, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. And of course, He asks Allah to help them with that intention. So also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that verily, whoever rejects or goes away from the truth, He will bring another group of people who will do the right thing, do the Islamic, fulfill the Islamic responsibilities. So therefore, it is important that we hurry up and act before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces us with a group of better people who actually will fulfill worship properly and do what is required. So now the Shaykh is apparently concluding, and he wants to give us advice. And he said that basically now, if a person looks, after understanding these verses from the Quran and the Sunnah, these different proofs, that the only way to return to the pristine state, to go back to where the Ummah was in charge and the Muslims were in charge, is to follow, to do correct worship. But he says there are many groups, from Ahlul Sunnah and non-Ahlul Sunnah groups, who call the people, who call the Muslims, to different methodologies and different ways to revive the Ummah.
So the Sheikh says, how does a person distinguish and how does a person know? The Sheikh is going to help us out and talks about it. He says basically that whether the Shia have their Tao and their methodology to revive the Ummah, or whether or not the Sufis have their own way, and or whether or not the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood, have their own way, or Hizb al-Tahrir, or Jama'at al-Tabligh, the Tablighi Brothers, even though they present ideas and present methodologies to the Muslims. The Sheikh says these things, in his opinion, these things will never allow the Ummah to revive itself to its original state, the way of the Sahaba. And that only Da'wah Salafiyah, only the way of a Salafiyah, only the way of the companions and those people who follow the companions, only that is a safe way. And only following this methodology will allow for the Ummah and the people in the Ummah to go back to the Khilafah or the Caliphateship, which was based upon the guidance of the Prophet.
الحديث الأول الذي يؤكد هذا الأمر قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تكون فيكم النبوة إلى ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم ينزعها الله إذا شاء ثم تكون خلافة الراشدة على منهاج النبوة ثم ينزعها الله إذا شاء ثم يكون ملكا عبودا ثم يكون ملكا جبريا ثم تكون خلافة الراشدة على منهاج النبوة. ونلاحظ في الحديث أن الخلافة في آخر الزمان خلافة الراشدة على منهاج النبوة تشبه الخلافة التي جاءت بعد خلافة رسول الله بعد النبوة فالتي جاءت بعد النبوة خلافة راشدة على منهاج النبوة والخلافة التي ستكون في آخر الزمان خلافة راشدة على منهاج النبوة مما يؤكد أن الفكر الذي سيعود الخلافة الساوية على الراتبة على منهاج النبوة هو فكر الصحابة الذين أنشأوا الخلافة الراتبة على منهاج النبوة بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الحديث الأول.
So to prove the Sheikh's statements, why he feels that this is correct, that only a Dawah Salafiyah is the only methodology and the only way to revive the Ummah, and none of those other groups that were mentioned previously have anything to offer to revive the Ummah or not the solution, is two hadith. So he's bringing proofs to verify his position. And the first hadith is the what we started with, that the Prophet said, verily, Allah will keep among you the Prophet in the time of the prophethood for a certain time. And then he will bring caliphs, or khalifas, caliphs, upon the guidance of the Prophet. Rightly guided caliphs upon the guidance of the Prophet, which means they obey the sunnah of the Prophet. And then, as we said, there will be different types of time periods where different types of people will rule, dictatorships and kingdoms and so forth. And then the Prophet also said at the end of the hadith, and that verily this ummah will return back to caliphs who are rightly guided following the guidance or the methodology of the Prophet. So therefore the Prophet said first you would have prophethood, then you would have rightly guided caliphs who follow the methodology of the Prophet. And then he said you'll have an intermediary stages where people are not following the guidance of the Prophet. And then he said you'll have another group of rightly guided caliphs who are following the methodology of the Prophet. So therefore, this end time or this final stage of the Ummah will equal the first stage of the Ummah. And it'll be exactly the same way. So therefore, those groups and those people who are not calling to the understanding of the Sahaba, then therefore they will not be... That is not the correct way to go back to the pristine state of the Sahaba. So therefore, the Sheikh is saying that the only da'wah which allows the people to go to the understanding of the Sahaba, who is its essential point is following the way of the Sahaba, is a da'wah salafiyah, or the way of the Salafs. So therefore, we know from this hadith that the only group that will bring the Ummah back to its correct way is the people who follow the Sahaba, or the Salaf, or the Salafis.
So, الحديث الثاني وهو قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقاتل المسلمون اليهود وثم حتى تقاتلون اليهود خطاب كان للصحابة حتى تقاتلون اليهود حتى يقتلوا اليهودين وراء الشجر والحجر ف فيقول الشجر والحجر يا مسلم يا عبد الله هذا يهودي تعالى اراه تعالى فاقتله الا الغرقد فانه من شجر اليهود. والحديث سمعتموه. والشاهد في الحديث تقاتلون الخطاب هنا للصحابة. هل الصحابة يكونون في آخر الزمان؟ الصحابة توفوا من المسلمين في آخر الزمان يقاتلون اليهود هم الذين على منهج الصحابة. فإذا كان على منهج الصحابة صح الخطاب للصحابة وكأنهم معنيون بالحديث.
The other hadith, which is very unique and everyone should focus on, is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which we mentioned earlier, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the hour will not be established until the Muslims fight the Jews. And another variation of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, the hour will not be established until you all fight the Jews. So therefore, when he was addressing the Sahaba and said, you are, that means he was talking to the Sahaba. But the question is, if the Sahaba, and we know Sahaba are not around now in the end of the Ummah, so therefore, how could this be possible? And the Prophet ﷺ would tell the Sahaba that they would be fighting the Jews, and then that the Jews would have to hide behind a rock and a tree, and the tree would say, and the rock would say, oh, worshiper of Allah, oh, slave of Allah, kill this Jew, he's behind me. So therefore, if the Prophet ﷺ knew that the Sahaba would not be along, might be around that time, he would have been dead by then who was he talking to? So, a great scholar, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his explanation to Sahih al-Bukhari, in Fath al-Bari, talks about, his book was Fath al-Bari, explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, talks about this hadith, and explains that he says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about the Sahaba, it was true. Because the people who will follow the Sahaba at the end of time, they are of the Sahaba. So therefore, since they follow the guidance of the Sahaba, then therefore, and they are the students of the Sahaba, therefore this hadith is addressed to those people who follow the Sahaba. And at the last time, the Muslims in the last day will be following the guidance of the Sahaba. So therefore, the Shaykh said this hadith also emphasizes and proves the fact that the only way to revive the Ummah is to accept the guidance of the Sahaba. And the only people who follow the guidance of the Sahaba are the group who follow Ad-Da'wah Salafiyah.
بهذا نختم محاضرتنا وأعتذر إذا أطلت عليكم ولكن الموضوع مهم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من الذين يسعون لعبادة الله حق عبادته ومن الذين يلتزمون بنهج صحابته ومن الذين يفكرون غاية التفكير في العودة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى لينقذوا أنفسهم وأهليهم من نار وقودها الناس والحجارة.
So the Sheikh says that perhaps he went on a little bit too much, but he apologizes. The topic is immense, and only out of his concern to explain the topic that he lengthen the topic, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path and to allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove us from the hellfire. So inshallah we'll have a time of questions now. The first question, I'll read it in English. The first question is that in his book on al-ghuraba, or those people who are unique or who stick to the sunnah, Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab says that some of the great rewards for those people who stick to the methodology of the Prophet and the Sahaba or the Salaf during the times of weakness are many. Can you explain to us some of the benefits and merits of those people who are stick to the Sunnah when the majority of the people leave the Sunnah and the Ummah is in weak?
يقول السائل أن في كتاب غرباء لحافظ ابن رجب يذكر بعض ملامح وبعض أجر الغرباء الذين يتمسكون بمنهج النبوي إن ضعف الأمة فممكن تشرح وتبين بعض القضايا.
الغرباء الذين يتمسكون بالسنة عند فساد الأمة لهم أجر عظيم. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بدا الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدا فطوبى للغرباء. طوبى للغرباء طوبى ما معناها؟ طوبى معناها الجنة، وطوبى أيضا شجرة في الجنة. قد أخبر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن طوبى شجرة في الجنة يخرج منها حلية أهل الجنة، أي ثمارها حلية أهل الجنة، وأن الراقبة وصير في ظلها مئة عام لا وقت ظلها. هذه هي طوبى للغرباء. ما طوبى الغرباء؟ الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس، وفي رواية يصلحون عند فساد الناس. نعم.
The Sheikh says that al-ghuraba, first he defined it, al-ghuraba are those people, and he defined it with the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, are those people who stick to the sunnah when the people have become corrupt and the people do mischief and evil. And also they are those people who, not only do they correct the evil of the people, likewise they themselves are correct. And then he quoted the hadith of Prophet ﷺ said that verily Islam started estranged, it was not known, it was uncommon, and verily it will return as it began. So it also will be very unique and strange. So blessed are the strangers, or tuba. The word tuba, or blessed, refers to, as Prophet ﷺ said, refers to a tree in paradise, or generally paradise in itself. And the Prophet ﷺ explained what this tree was. He said, verily, if a person, if a rider, a horseback, would travel for 100 years, it would not be able to pass its shade. So that's how great and that's how huge it is. Additionally, the gifts and the clothes and the rewards for the people of paradise will come from the fruit of this tree. So when we hear of all the blessings that people get from Jannah, and then we know that this tree belongs to or is for those people who stick to the sunnah when the people have left it, we know how great it is to stick to the sunnah in a time of weakness. And then there's some other questions. I'm taking the questions as they come, in the order that Jamil gives it to me. Okay, so these questions came afterwards. Okay. Okay, the question is, Hizb al-Tahrir focus all our efforts and da'wah towards establishing the Khilafah, since the lack of the Khalifa is seen to be the main and primary cause of our weakness. Please comment. يقول السؤال أن نحن أو حزب التحرير يركزون جهودهم ودعوتهم إلى إقامة الخلافة لعدم وجود الخليفة، ولأن نرى أن أو يرى الناس أو يظنون الناس أن هذا هو سبب أهم الأسباب في ضعف الأمة. فإشرح لنا. يقول
كما ذكرت لكم أن السعي نحو الخلافة واجب، ولكن كيف السعي؟ قد فسرت لكم القول في هذا. وحزب التحرير لا يسعى ضمن هذا الطريق، إنما يسعى بطريق الانقلابات، أي الخروج على الحكام وعمل الانقلاب على الحكام. وهذا الطريق فيه أخطاء كثيرة. أولها أنهم أعملوا سبب ضعف الأمة، وأن الأمة لم تصل إلى هذا الضعف فجأة، ولكنها وصلت إليه بالتدريج. فضعف لا يمكن أن تعود إلى العزة والمنعة إلا بعد التدريج، وهذا قانون الله في الأشياء، وهذه سنة الله في الأشياء. فانظروا أنتم الشيء الذي يدخل بسرعة أو بفجأة عندنا يبرد بالتدريب ولا فجأة؟ يبرد فجأة. فالذي يدخل فجأة يبرد فجأة، والذي يدخل بالتدريب يبرد بالتدريج. كما تقولون هذا في لحاق البعض بالتدريج كانت قوية، ثم دفع البعث ويدب فيها شيئا فشيئا فشيئا حتى وصلت إلى ما هي عليه. فهل نستطيع أن ننقذها من حالها الآن فجأة؟ لا يكون إلا بالتربية، إلا بتحقيق العبودية لله في نفوسنا، إلا بتصفية الإسلام مما لحق به. هذا الأمر الأول. الأمر الثاني أن نظام الإسلام يبقى، أن نظام الإسلام يبقى. أردت بحاجة إلى عبر تحليل؟ بلى. فكما يبقى نظام الإسلام يبقى في ديار المسلمين؟ وقلت الآن لا بد أن تبني نفسك قطعا أن تبني دينها. العالم العربي والإسلام يعود على قطعه. وسوف الطبقة تريد أن تحكم بما أنزل الله وليس عندها هذا القول شعبك. سوف تعود على الطبقة فقط بس ستموت طبعا مثل الصغار. إذا لابد أن يكون إقرار الطبقة تدريجيا لكي تستطيع أن تكن نفسها وتستغل أرضها وتستغل طرائق بلادها ويكون الأمر بيدها لا بيد عدوها. الآن الجهاد الرطواني جلسوا 14 عام المقاتلون الشيعية ثم انتصروا على الشيعية، ولأنه لا يوجد تربية عندهم أصبحوا بعد فتح كابل يتقاتلون فيما بينهم، وأصبحوا يتكون حصور بعضهم بعضا. لماذا؟ لأن الشباب بعض النصر أهم الرياضة، ولأن الشباب قد تتكون شبك الدولة. إذا لا يمكن في إعادة الخلافة الراكبة أن يتجاهل سنن الله في التغيير. لذلك حزب التحرير لا يقوم على سنن الله في التغيير، ولذلك فهو حزب لا يصل إلى ما يريد. وقد جاء في كتابه المسمى التفكير الذي ألفه تقي الدين النبهاني أن الحزب إذا مضى عليه 30 سنة ولم يصل إلى الخلافة فهو حزب يجب أن يعيد حساباته، وقد مضى عليه أكثر من 40 سنة. ثم حزب التحرير في بعض كتبه يطعن في الصحابة مثل معاوية رضي الله عنه، فكيف يكون هو الذي يعيد الخلافة وهو ليس على منهج الصحابة؟
Yeah, well, Washington. Okay, the Sheikh gave a very good refutation. Inshallah, that brother should try to pay attention, inshallah. The Sheikh said that he mentioned, without question, about that the way that establishing the Khalifa is important, is a requirement of the religion. Likewise, the way to get there, it must be Islamic and must be the correct way. So therefore, we must do both. We must get to the goal and get to use the correct means, using the Sharia means to get to that goal. The methodology that they use is through revolt, through a quick overthrow of the government, so they will become in charge. That's what they call to. But this group, may Allah guide us in them, have forgotten a important point, that in the same way that the Ummah slowly lost its might and its glory, likewise slowly must it rebuild itself. Because the Ummah did not lose its might and glory and become the weakest of nations overnight, but rather first some wrong ideas got into the Ummah, wrong practices, wrong manners, and slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly until they lost control. So therefore, it must be changed in the same way. Because a country needs two types of people, rulers and a populace or a population which are following those rules. So therefore, if they were to overthrow quickly that government or whatever government is their intent, then therefore, if the people are not ready, have not been primed, are not ready with good knowledge of Islam and correct beliefs, then therefore, they will not be ready to protect themselves. And he gives a very good example.
For instance, all the Islamic countries now are not self-sufficient. They do not have enough industries or enough agriculture to protect themselves. They all live off of grain, which comes from the West, in America specifically, or credits or so forth. So therefore, they themselves would not be able to succeed in anything. And then once they would have overtaken it, the people would not be ready to defend the Ummah. They would not have means to defend themselves or produce for themselves. They would die as the Somalis die today because they have no food. So therefore, not only from the, in the situation of providing food and the basic necessities for their own people, likewise they would have no way to defend themselves internally or externally from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an example, the Shaykh gives the situation of Afghanistan. It took 14 years to remove the communists and Russians from Afghanistan. But now look at the situation. In that they have succeeded in kicking out the communists, but now there is fierce fighting among themselves. And that is because they did not build a core of knowledge-based citizens. So therefore, now they fight severely among themselves. So, not only is success important, but even what's more important is to be able to have a secure safety. That the outcome of this struggle is more important than the struggle itself. And the conquest must have the ability to withstand and not fall upon itself. So, Hizb al-Tahrir, as the Shaykh says, have forgotten the methodology of Allah or the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe. In that, something which slowly changes must slowly be rebuilt, especially after the deep humiliation or the deep falling apart of the Ummah as it is now, that quickly the change cannot occur because the people themselves are not prepared. They do not have knowledge. They do not have tasfiyah. The weak beliefs and the wrong impure beliefs and the wrong impure practices have not been sifted away from them. So they are not ready to handle this responsibility if it were to occur. Likewise, they do not follow the correct way in other matters. So not only is there the goal that they have, which they claim, the way they get there is wrong, but likewise, as a group, they themselves have other mistakes. Specifically, one of their leaders has said, Taqiyuddin, one of their scholars has said, or one of their important members has said, that fairly any group which after 30 years cannot establish a caliphate, then therefore they need to change their goals and have introspection, review what they were doing. Hizb al-Tahrir has been around for 40 years, so they're 10 years past their goal. So therefore, by their own statement of their own leaders, they should reanalyze what they're doing. Additionally, that's not all. They insult the Sahaba, they insult Muawiyah, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know from the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that verily that group which will remain in charge, will become in charge of the Ummah at the end of the time period, follow the guidance of the Sahaba, the way of the Prophethood. So therefore, this hadith shows us that these will not be the ones who will bring about the change of the Ummah. And there's many other statements like this. The other question is, you mentioned that most Muslims would like to have an Islamic state if you were to ask them. I agree. But when you ask them or tell them that it involves that their husbands may martyr or may marry unto four wives, just as Allah allowed them, just about all of the women, Arabic women that live in the countries for this. It's hard to read the question, so let me just try to read it beforehand, inshallah. I'm sorry, it's sort of hard to understand the question, but let me read it out loud. Allah allowed them, all of the women, Arabic women, where this law was abolished. Yeah, I think the question is around, and perhaps a person would rewrite it or just ask it directly, that because the Islamic Ummah, if it were to occur, then a lot of the prevalent customs would be removed and Islam would come in. And apparently perhaps it's his sister, or that maybe this brother is asking on behalf of his sister, that the men will be able to allow be married four wives. And therefore, if a person really wants Islam to be established, and therefore he would have to be pleased with this ruling since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated this ruling. So perhaps it is a statement or a comment that perhaps people, they say what they say something but they really don't want it inside their heart.
يقول ربما تنبيه أن إما أخت سائلة أو أخ يسأل لزوجها أن الناس كنا نحن كما قضت أن نريد الإسلام ونريد أن تكون تطبق علينا ولكن أما في قضايا تحدد الأزواج فربما بعض الناس إذا سمح لهم الوضع أنهم يتزوجون بأربع فلا يرضون هذا وأنهم يحبون عدم وجود الدولة الإسلامية لأسباب فيتكلمون بشيء ما ليس لهم ماذا تنبيه فقط.
Another question is, can a school or madhab of thought be established in America today?
السؤال يقول هل تقام أو هل تظن أن ستقيم مذهب أو فرقة في أمريكا؟
فرقة إيه؟
هل تظن أن سيكون
The question is, can a school of thought madhab be established in America today, and as the formal religion or the formal jurisprudence of the nation of the land? Or is that the question? Or will there be a prevalent madhab that people will follow? What was the question specifically pertaining to? Oh, start a new school of thought in America.
يقول هل يجوز أن نبدأ مذهب جديد للفقه الأمريكان مثلا أو ما يتعلق بالقضاء الأمريكان نبدأ
كيف نبدأ
يعني نشرع شيء يفيد الأمريكان خصوصا
فكر يعني جديد فكر
أي فكر جديد وأظن كذلك يعني عبادات جديدة أو
لا يجوز طبعا لأن التقيد بالكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف فالاختراع الأفكار والمبادئ وما يلائم ناس هذا ما يجوز في دين الله الأصل في الإسلام التقيد بكتاب الله ثم رسول الله بالسفهم السلف لأن هذا مصدر عزتنا أن نتقيد لأن المسلم أن يسمع ويطيع إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وطعنا وما اخترتم في شيء فحكموه إلى الله إن الحكم إلا لله فلا يجوز اختراع عبادات أو اختراع أفكار أو اختراع أي شيء جديد يجب علينا أن نعتقد الإسلام وأن نطبق الإسلام وأن نرجع عند حدود النص كتاب الله سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نكون عبادا لله فقط أما النص أما الاجتهاد والتشريع غير ذلك فهذا أمر كتبنا إياه الإسلام علينا أن نفعل ما أراد الله وأن نطبق الإسلام فقط.
The Shia said it is impermissible, it is not allowed to innovate or to do something new to the religion. It is required, since we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to abide and to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. It is not allowable for us to have new thoughts and introduce new thoughts into the religion, new beliefs, nor is it permissible for us to bring out new types of worship or add or take or play around or change slightly the acts of worship or the beliefs. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, verily it is the believers who, when they are called to rule or judge, or are called to abide by the rulings of Allah and the Prophet, you hear them say, we hear and we obey. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily ruling and judgment is for Allah alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that verily if the believers disagree in the matter, they go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Can the Shaykh please expound on the Antichrist, Gog and Magog, and what are the significance?
ممكن تبين في قضية مسيح الدجال ويأجوج ومأجوج وما أهميتهما.
ثبت عن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن في آخر الزمان سيخرج كذاب كبير اسمه المسيح الدجال. هذا المسيح الدجال
يخرج ابتلاء من الله للعباد، ومكنها الله من أشياء كثيرة خارقة للعادة على سبيل الاستدراك وليس على سبيل التكلم، فإنه عدو لله، عدو لرسول الله، عدو للمؤمنين. فمن الأشياء التي تكون مع الدجال وقت الدجال، أصد لكم الدجال كما جاء في السنة أنه رجل أعرى، أي إحدى عينيه لا تبصر، أنها تشبه العنب الطاقية الخضراء تكون بارزة، وأن شعره قطط.
تعرف من قطط؟
أبدا.
يعني جحد، جحد لفت مثل الجنود.
وأنه مكتوب على جبينه كثرة، وأنه يكون يمكث في الأرض 40 يوما، يوم كسنة، يطيل الله ذلك اليوم، يوم كسنة ويوم كشهر ويوم كأسبوع، وبقية أيامه كأيام الناس. وأنه يخرج بين العراق والشام، وأنه
Okay, so it's somewhat of a lengthy answer. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi said, and it is authentic, that barely towards the end of the time, a big liar named the False Christ, or Masih al-Dajjal, will appear to the people as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test the people. And he will have unnatural or miraculous powers, things which are not miracles in that they are good, but in that they are unnatural events, which will cause the people to question their faith. And most of mankind will worship this person. He is a man. He has one eye. The other eye is swollen like a grape. He cannot see out of it. His hair is like in cornrows, with very, very tightly knotted hair. Very, very tightly knotted. And on the forehead he has the word written, kafara, which is like this means disbelief in English, on his forehead. And he will be among the people for a certain amount of time.
The last time?
40 days. The first day will be like 1 year to the people. The second day will be like a month. And the third day that he will be there of his 40 days will be like 1 week. It will seem to people that long. And then the rest of the 37 days will be like normal days for us. He will descend between Iraq and Syria, or Sham. And that when he travels, it's like the traveling of wind. And have paradise and garden. On the other hand, he will have hell, or fire in his hand. In actuality, when he tells the people to take one, if they choose all that greatness of paradise in his hand, it will actually become hellfire for them. And if they choose the fire, it will actually become paradise for them. And that the believers who have memorized the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will be saved from his evil and turmoil. Only those believers who have memorized the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, the Surah of the Cave, the chapter of the Cave.
And that
Isa, Jesus, son of Mary, will descend as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not as another prophet, but as a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and will descend down and will kill this Antichrist, this false Christ, Masih al-Dajjal, in an area in Palestine. And that's about a Dajjal.
أن يأجوج ومأجوج فهم قبائل كثيرة تخرج بعد الدجال في آخر حكم المسيح عليه السلام، وأنهم يهلكون أهل الأرض، وأن عيسى والمؤمنين يعتصمون منهم في جبل الطور، وأنهم بعدما يهلك أهل الأرض يرسل الله عليهم النغف وهي دودة صغيرة ثم يموتوا جميعا، ثم يرسل الله عليهم السماء والأرض فتحملهم إلى البحار.
I'll translate this last portion and then we got a message to break for Salah. What time is Salah? At 12:15. So the Shaykh said about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are many tribes are discussed in the Quran, and they are very fierce tribes. They will appear after Isa descends at the last portion of Isa's rule. Isa will become a ruler of the Muslims at that time, and they will be fierce tribes, and they will kill everything on the earth except for a group of the believers who will go to the mount where Musa received revelation, Mount Tur, and they will be there hiding from them, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will kill these tribes, these disbelieving tribes, by sending Allah subhanahu will send small worms which will kill them, and then they will be and then Allah subhanahu will send a flood type which will clean the earth and remove all their filthy bodies to the oceans. And then as the hadith in Sahih Muslim says, that the Muslims will come out again and they will be by themselves on the earth. And then other events will occur. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Those people who want to review it, inshallah. So perhaps one more question. There are six more questions. I'll try to take the one the top. Excuse me? We have to go to Salah. So, something more important than questions. After Salah, there are those Muslims who claim that those Muslims who strive to adhere to Al-Kitab and the Sunnah, as understood by As-Salaf al-Salih, have neglected or minimized the place of jihad in truly establishing the religion of Islam or Deen of Islam as taught in the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As is it presently an obligation to prepare for and correctly wage jihad over under our present situation? If so, what does this preparation entail, and what is its very first step? يقول في ثلاث أجزاء السؤال أن يفترى على السلفيين أنهم لعدم اهتمامهم بالجهاد وأنهم نسوا أن الصحيح في إقامة الدين هو بواسطة الجهاد وهذا هو منهج الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهل هو واجب على المسلمين الآن بإعلان الجهاد وأي أول خطة وش أول خطة في إيجاد الجهاد؟
لا شك رأي أن اتهام السلفيين بأنهم لا يجهدون افتراء، لأن لو أخذنا من الذي جهد في أفغان في كنر؟ من الذي الآن يجاهد في بوطنة والهرسك؟ كلهم الحمد لله على المنهج السلفي. أو الثاني، نحن لا نرسل الجهاد، وإنما نقول أن الأمة ضعيفة لم تستطع الجهاد، فعلينا أن نرسل الأمة متعاونة على الأمة واحدة. فأول خطوة في الجهاد هو أن نحيي الأمة، أن تصبح الأمة عظيمة بدونها. فقد الشيء ماذا أعطوه لأنه يحب بماذا هو عارف الدور ونحن تركي الدور في بيوتنا في أبنائنا في أنفسنا ففقد الشيء لا أعطوه. إذا أردنا أن نعيد الدور فنعيده في أنفسنا وأزواجنا وأبنائنا وأسرنا وبيوتنا، ثم نقوم بها أن أرجو الدور. فعلينا هذا الأمر أن نجاهد نفسنا نجاهد الشيطان ثم نتوقع جهاد أعداء الله عندما نصبح جنود القوى، أي بمعنى لا نخاف إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى.
The Shia said clearly those people who say the statement that the Salafis aren't concerned with jihad or not do jihad, this is a lie against them. For verily, the people who are in Afghanistan, like in Kunar, and the brothers in Kunar were the first people who announced jihad against the Russians. They were Salafis, and they are Salafis. If you look at those brothers there, if you look at the brothers in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, they are Salafis. So that insult and that lie and that statement that the Salafis are not concerned with jihad is false, and it is just nonsense. But as far as the other question about waging jihad, and is it required for us to wage jihad, and how do we do this? Definitely, we have to wage jihad. That is a requirement in the religion. But if the people is weak, the people are weak, and they do not want to raise jihad, or if they're not, they're incapable of raising jihad, then definitely we have to encourage them, we have to teach them, we have to give them the tools, the knowledge, which will encourage them to go make jihad. So therefore, when we're making jihad, what are we making jihad for? If now the ummah's general rule is not concerned about the religion, then therefore we're going to try to establish what? So they can leave the religion again? And there's an Arabic expression, someone who does not have an item cannot give it. So therefore, if a group of people, they want to make jihad, and they themselves are unable of waging it, then therefore they can't do anything. So therefore, after they know, after they've been taught and they learn what Islam is, they know what worship is, specifically, we apply Islam on ourselves first. And we make it that important issue. We go apply it upon our wives, we apply it upon our husbands, we apply it upon our children and our friends. Once we've applied it upon ourselves, then we'll be able to go make jihad. But definitely, those brothers, as she cited as an example, those brothers who are making jihad of the Salafis, alhamdulillah, they are able to and they should. And jihad is required until the Day of Judgment. So as the Shaykh says, the first step is to teach the people so they are ready to go and do jihad. And now we have to go to Salah. We've got 2 more minutes to go to Salah.
Wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So perhaps these other questions, Brother Kamal, you hold on to them, and perhaps another Shaykh will address them, or perhaps Shaykh Salim will address them in a private lecture, or perhaps another one of his sessions. Jamil, you'll hold on to them.